Yes, yes, glory, honor, and power. Praise his name. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministry Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Carburn, your presiding person for this Saturday worship experience. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. You know, today is Youth Weekend, and today, on the fifth Saturday of each month, we give the youth the opportunity to serve and participate in our worship service. And we have this morning to do scripture and prayer is our very own brother, Darius Freeman. Okay, that's Darius Freeman. Welcome this morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. Hey, good morning. Thank Thanks
good
for
morning.
Being with us this morning. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Take it away.
Okay. Good morning, Blog Talk listeners all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is Saturday, and I'm opening up with scripture and prayer. The scripture will be coming from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. I repeat, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven and not the things on earth, of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ and God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy. For a greedy person is an adulterer, worshiping the things in this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do things when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other. For you have stripped off your old sinful nature and it's all wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's fault, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with awe, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. May the Lord add a reader. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty powerful word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity once again offer up to you so much deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill your Holy Spirit, everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask all these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, King Darius. We appreciate you, and you have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Holy, 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 holy is the Lord.
Yo, here we are. Yo, here we are. Let us bow down before the Lord God, our Maker. Let's get intimate, yo. Let's worship him.
Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fill the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord the Most High. Woe is me, I'm a man with unclean lips. And I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. There was Sarah flew to me with coal in his hands. He touched me on my lips, said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking who shall he send. I said, send me, Lord. Commit to faithful men. Sometimes, Lord, I feel like I don't give you enough to count of pure joy, to persevere when times get tough. So I keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand, and yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you in power and might, glory and light, eternal in sight, blameless and right, creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated on the
divine works all around me. I can't get past the evidence, the fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know you're heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns, you took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man failing and you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man fall. But with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life upon the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord.
Holy, 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 holy.
full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hands. He touched me on my lips. He said, my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me.
Masterpiece, yeah. Put it right here on my plate.
God knows what he's doing for you, and you gotta trust his word.
And when you're going through the process like a tattoo, you be like, that hurts.
When God's done, it's gonna be flawless, everything according to his will. You see, he's the master artist.
Masterpiece.
Amen. God is doing something. God is working on us. God is creating a masterpiece. You know, when you watch an artist, especially somebody who's sculpting or making a bust of somebody, they scrape and they mold and they press. And amen. And when it's all done, it's a piece of art. It's something that's worthy of, amen, looking at, selling, amen, has value, greater value than it had as the original substance, the way it was formed. And now God is, amen, working on us. Jesus said in Philippians 1:6, I'm working on you. I'm not going to stop working on you till you get to heaven. And that's a guarantee from him. But what about why we're here on earth? The Lord said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then he'll add all that rest of that stuff to us. While we're seeking him, he will seek the stuff for us. Ain't that just like God? Amen. I'm seeing blessings falling out of nowhere, and all I can say is, ain't that just like God? Don't you love it when he show up like that? Amen. That he just come with the blessings, and especially the ones you wasn't even expecting, the ones you thought you wasn't even, amen, worthy of. But, you know, sometimes we have to wait, and sometimes we don't like waiting. And whether you're old or young, sometimes you got to wait. And sometimes our young folk don't like to wait. But God got you waiting on something that's better than what you're trying to rush and get. So the message is, hold on.
Some days it seems like it'd be easier to just let go.
I know you're praying for a change, to see a sunny day, nothing good.
Yeah.
So much to live for.
You have so much to live for.
Remember what you pray for.
Remember what you pray for.
Yes.
Hold on.
Don't give up.
From experience.
I
was there.
Walking after, but you're a whole lot closer to it now than you were yesterday. Even this morning, you're a lot closer to it, and the Lord knows it. It's amazing how Abraham went up that mountain and got ready to sacrifice his son. And what amazes me is that he never heard the ram over there caught in a thicket and apparently making no noise, not even trying to get out and squealing and hollering. None of that. And what amazes me is Abraham would have never, amen, known the ram was there, right there. He's struggling with faith, but the ram right there. But he wouldn't have known it if he hadn't raised the knife and proceeded on his way down. And then the Lord said, stop, don't hurt the child. Now I know. Amen. Are you ready to follow the Lord, or are you still talking about it? I'm going to follow Jesus this 5 minutes. Next 5 minutes, I'm not. Amen. Are you really ready to follow Jesus? Let us know.
I'm letting go of all that's behind me. I'm moving on to what lies before me. I'm available, please use me.
Imagine this. You're driving, you're walking down the street, and you're looking backwards. And there's obstacles in front of you, and you run right into them. Why? Because you're still looking backwards. Any Christian who refuses to look forward to the new life and work at living the new life that God has given us is driving down the street looking backwards. Imagine this, you're going down the street, you look over in the car next to you, and they're looking backwards. Amen. That's a Christian who's not trying to walk forward in faith, but walking backwards in the past. Amen. You know, before I learned this, I used to believe that everything was a big thing and it was against me. It was the obstacle. I wasn't going to get over it. But then I learned from reading about Job that it's a fixed fight and we've already won. All Job had to do was keep being Job. He didn't hear nothing extra from God. The Lord didn't go down there and say, like he did, Paul, say, be encouraged. You got to preach for me in Rome. He didn't tell Job nothing. Job just down there wondering, what's up? I go to church every Sunday. I raise my kids right. I get tithes and offerings. Why I'm down here on the ground all tore up from the floor up? Well, he didn't know that he was going to get trouble for double for his trouble at the end of that experience. But guess what? He learned something after that. This was a fixed fight. And right from the beginning, I had already won.
Yep. Yep. Now you trying to do me a favor. Everybody. Everybody clap your hands right. Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are the self for your we already won.
All right, already won. Pastor, I really like that. Driving backwards. Look forward to the new life forward. Forward in faith. Hey, Pastor, that was your sermon right there. We could pass the plate, pray, and go home on that. All right. Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Amen. Which takes us the time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own King, Malachi Freeman, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Malachi Freeman. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Give me a mountain and I promise to move it. Show me a valley, I'll walk right through it. I ain't worried.
No matter what's thrown at me.
Give me a hurdle, I'll jump right over. Like a game of limbo, I get down lower. I ain't worried.
Cause I ain't worried, yeah.
If I'm in trouble, you get me in order. Push me out the boat and I'll walk on water. I ain't worried, no, 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 no. Cause worry.
You
Good morning. I'll be reading an altar call. Thank you, Father God in heaven. We come to you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for waking us up and keeping us safe. Thank you for meeting all of our needs. Also, thank you for all you do for us. Lord, we know you are not perfect, and we need your forgiveness. Please forgive us of every sin we have committed. Father God, we ask your direction in our lives. We ask for a sound mind so that we have a clear vision for what you want us to do for you. God, you know your words, frontwards and backwards, so you know what you mean. Proverbs 22:6, which says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Thank you, Lord, for telling this to the grown-ups. We pray that they will obey you, because if they do this, it will give us a solid foundation. God, you also know that Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Father, we need to hear and learn your word. We thank you for your good biblical teachers who preach messages about Christ so that we can be faithful followers. Although we are young, we know that we need to be able to reach others through the message of your word. So please help us, Lord. Oh, Lord, as according to Acts 8:31, the Ethiopian asked how he could understand your word unless someone explains it to him. So he invited Philip to sit with him, and he learned. We see in that story just how important it is for us to listen to our parents. We also need to watch the example they set. So we pray for the adults now, Lord God. Father God, please bless the teachers. Please bless the leaders so they make the right decisions concerning our education and safety as we return to school all over the world. Let them be mindful of your warning about mistreating children. You said in Matthew 18:6, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in you, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Lord, we pray that this will not be necessary and that the adults will just do what you tell them to do. Lord, hear our prayers. And Lord, we know above all you can protect us, whether we are at home, at school, on the school bus, or even walking here and there. You are everywhere, and we are grateful. Please wrap your arms of love around us. Thank you, Lord. Even though we are youth, with you by our side, we can change the world in the way you intended to be. Lord, we love you. We praise you with all our heart and soul. We lift you up and magnify your name, and our hearts are filled with praise. Lord, in our ways, we acknowledge you. In Jesus' name, we are so grateful. Amen.
Trust and believe, I'll never leave you lonely. I need you to know I am always right beside you.
of him. Somebody help me, yeah.
Here, Lord, power in prayer, power in prayer. Thank you, King Malachi, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. Have a great day. Hey, let's love on our youth, our young people, our youth, our young people. Give them what they need to make it, starting with the Word of God. Amen. All right. I am truly enjoying this service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear after this selection to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own Sister Deaconess June Rogers. Let's prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers as she comes in her own way with the introduction. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give me 1 second. I don't know what I was thinking about, but I was sitting here thinking. And rather than, I should have been, oh, here we go. Amen. We'll see you in a minute.
will. Good morning, everyone, especially you young people out there. Thank you, Malachi, for leading us in that prayer a little while ago. I just think, you know, why do we sing? Why do we sing praises to the Lord? And I guess even though I can't sing, part of the reason why I get so excited is because I guess there's a little cheerleader in me. We're like trying to encourage ourselves. We're cheering ourselves on. We're cheering the Lord on. So just let what that psalmist said sink for a minute. He never lost a battle. All things are possible. He cannot fail, okay? So let us not ever give up faith. Just remember, he's never lost a battle, and he never will. So the subject this morning that Pastor's going to preach on is called A Walk of Faith. So I think that was a fitting song that we all just heard. He has asked me to read Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It is written, "The Lord has said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp beside the Oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. Okay, you readers, hearers, and doers of the word, you do know how to get blessed, don't you? We just read about blessings here in the first book of the Bible. God told Abram, also known as Abraham, that he was going to bless not only him but us. How? He needed to leave and go where God instructed him to go. So when you talk about getting blessed, it really comes down to obedience. If we do what God tells us to do, then we will be blessed, pure and simple. Well, God has more blessings in store for you with this message Pastor O is about to deliver. Luke 11:28 records that Jesus said, "Even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice." And Pastor O, we find one who takes seriously his charge as pastor, preacher, and teacher. He prepares diligently and constant communication with God through the Holy Spirit to feed us, the sheep assigned to this body of believers. Thank you, Pastor O, for your prayers and covering us. Being a force field is not easy. As we know, you take some hits that the enemy needs for us. If you are ready to hear what God told Pastor O to tell us, so that we will be blessed, repeat this after me. Pastor O, break it down for us.
Amen. Thank you, Deaconess June Rogers. Appreciate you. Tell Ray I said hello.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Yeah, see, ain't that something? We are actually see, not here, but see and here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We give thanks to God this morning, and let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we praise your holy name. Heavenly Father, you know how I have been suffering all night and how even at this very moment I am definitely suffering. But I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've given me this opportunity to preach this word, A Walk of Faith. I thank you for that, and I definitely need to operate in the faith that you've given me this morning. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless me to rise above this and to be able to preach your word. And I know that you're more than able to accomplish that. So I will not worry. I will not be dismayed. I will simply trust that you will get me through this. You will get this word out, and your people will learn a walk of faith. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless me. Oh, usually my wife is here, and she repeats right after that. Lord, bless me to hear your word and bless my heart to receive your word. Because I acknowledge to you today that my ways and my thoughts are not like yours, but I'm here today to be renewed, to be made over, to have my mind transformed to your thinking, so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I wish we could have opened the door to the church when Deaconess Clyburn said that, and you know, things would have worked out a whole lot better. Amen. But I have faith that the Lord will get me through this walk concerning this word. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. And in this life, yes, sometimes we might be going through something and God will ask us to do something. But it all comes down to if you have faith. Do you believe? And we know that faith is not something that you just sit there and say, I believe, I believe, I believe. No, God has given us something to believe. He has given us a clear word. And if we're going to have faith, that means we heard what God said and we're going to do it. That's faith. Nothing else is faith. Sitting around and squeezing your hands together and say, Lord, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe real hard. That is not faith. You need a word of God that God said that's textual to you. In other words, it applies to you. He wasn't speaking to somebody else individually, okay, like telling David he was going to be king, telling David he was going to do this, that, and the other. He was telling David that. Now, we can glean from that that if God did it for him and whatever position he's calling us to, he'll do it for us. Okay? But you have to make sure that what you're having faith in is something God gave you. You got to be real careful with the Old Testament because they got that the law under the age of law or the dispensation of law in that particular time period. And God gave it to the children of Israel. If you weren't there when Moses was in Exodus and Leviticus and even Numbers and especially Deuteronomy, if you weren't there hearing all that, he wasn't talking to you. Now, again, we can glean from that the things that God said to them and know that God is like that. So if we find ourselves in a similar situation, we already know that we can say, Lord, I need you to steady me up like you steadied Moses up. You know, I need you to let me part the Detroit River like Moses parted the Red Sea. Well, that's probably not God's plan. Amen. So you can't have faith for that. You can stand up there at that river longer than Moses did. Moses had to stand all night long. And then early as it dawned, the sea started to part. But he was doing that based off a word from God. When the people were panicking, when he started to panic, the Lord says, why are you panicking and crying out to me? What is that in your hand that I gave you? And that shifted his mind back to what God said he would do with that staff. And so Moses remembered the word of the Lord and turned toward the Red Sea, and he stayed there. It didn't part in an hour. It didn't part in 3 hours. It was until morning, starting to dawn. He had stood like that all night long, believing God. You don't want to stand like that all night long. Amen. And it's based off kitchen talk. That's what old folks call it. Like the stuff like the Bible so clear a fool can't err. There are some King James English words in that phrase that sends. But that's not King James English, so that did not come out. Okay, the Bible is clear. God has made it perfectly clear, but he never wrote that anywhere. So you call that kitchen talk, okay, making up things that's not really in the Bible. And the problem with that is God is not obligated to make it happen. Amen? So you have to be sure that what you're having faith for, if you're going to walk the walk of faith or have a walk of faith like Abraham did, then you're going to have to be sure that God is talking to you. And for us today, we don't need to really, I spend a lot of time with the Lord, and I've gotten very used to his voice. And I did that by studying the scriptures over and over and over and over and over, and I still do it to this day. So you're talking about from 1975 until 2021. I still do the Bible reading class. I haven't grown so much that I hear Jesus saying, you don't need to attend the Bible reading class. You've already read the Bible. Really? Amen. A lot of Christians do that, and that's why they have no faith, and that's why they have what's called crazy faith. They can't base what they're believing God for on his word, because God never spoke that word to them about that. Here's what we do. We'll go out and start a business, and then we'll trust God to make it work. Really? You didn't hear nothing from him? You know what that's akin to? You remember when Joshua and them had just crossed the Jordan River, and what they did was they completely followed the instructions of the Lord, and they got success even though the Jordan River was at flood stage, okay? But then for some reason, when it came time to go down to Ai, they didn't view that as a big enough problem where they needed to even consult God. So they didn't. And so they went down there by faith, crazy faith. That's where that comes from. They had crazy faith, and it did not work. 36 people lost their lives practicing crazy faith. So you need to know, amen, that the Lord told you to do what you're about to do, because if not, amen, you're probably not going to get, okay, you're not going to get the victory. For one, it's called idolatry. Okay, the Lord says study to show yourself approved unto God, become a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, but one who can rightly divide the word of truth. If you cannot do that from Genesis to Revelation, then you're not living a Christian life by faith. You're a Christian because you practice the faith that God gave you to believe that Jesus died and was raised on the third day, but Jesus don't get to tell you what to do. That's it. You just got saved. And ain't nothing else changed. Everything is still the same. You're not living a life of faith. Amen. The Lord said to Abraham, or Abram at this time, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I'll show you. Get up out of your place of comfort. Get away from everybody you're comfortable being around. Get out from under your father's authority and go to a land that I will show you. That is a lot. I mean, Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldeans, and if you study them, you'll find out they worshipped anything they could, but mostly the moon. But this didn't sit well with Abraham. Even though his brother Lot was a kind of purveyor of gods, amen, none of them worked for him. Even though his father believed in the gods, plural, polytheism, okay, polytheist, okay, many gods, it didn't work for Abraham. He was just still uncomfortable. God would not allow Abram to be comfortable with false gods. He kept finding fault. I'm sure if you just read between the lines, it's not hard to see. He kept finding fault with it. And God knew that Abraham wanted to know the true and living God, not some thing sitting somewhere that a human being made, like you or Deacon Charles Tate talk about it all the time. You take a piece of wood over there in Isaiah chapter, 44. You take a piece of wood, you cut down a tree, get some wood, you go home, you use some of it for the fire, you put some of it under your little pot so you can cook with, and while you're waiting on that dinner to get ready, you sit there and whittle, carb a god that you made out of some wood you went and picked up out in the middle of nowhere somewhere, and now you done brought it home, and now you done set it up, and that's your god. Abraham was not comfortable with that, because if he walked up to the idol and said, hey, are you real? The idol would just stare back at him with his fake eyes and not say a word. You know, the Lord taught me a long time ago about Islam and all these other things they call religion. He said, those are all tools of the devil to keep people away from me. Okay, I said, but Jesus, they call it God. They believed that God, when I studied Muhammad and how he came to faith, he believed that he went out into the middle of the desert in Saudi Arabia, and he heard God say to him, "You are my prophet. Go and proclaim in the name of God or Allah." And he wasn't real comfortable with that. But his wife, Khadijah, she came to him and said, "You are none other than the prophet of God." And so he began to go out and prophesy because he felt like God talked to me. But the people in Mecca tried to kill him. The Bedouin tribesmen, they tried to kill him. And so he fled to Medina. And to this day, they practice what's called the Hajj from Mecca to Medina, and then they march around that big old rock. They say God gave them out of the sky. Okay? But Muhammad only became comfortable with it. He couldn't either read or write and was completely illiterate. And yet they have what's called the Holy Quran. This is a book that's made up of the Old Testament Hebrew Bible. That's where they based their faith on Abraham's son, Ishmael, and they traced themselves back to him. And it's part New Testament. Jesus is a big character in the Quran. In fact, they listed 25 of his miracles. And, amen, they listed 25 of his miracles. And I met a Muslim on Facebook who became a Christian off reading the Quran. He came to the conclusion that Jesus did more than Muhammad. Muhammad hadn't recorded one miracle. The only miracle that they say he ascended into heaven from what they call the Dome of the Rock, that's built right where the temple used to be in Jerusalem. They call it the Dome of the Rock, and then the Al-Aqsa Mosque is right across the way from it. But they say he ascended into heaven from that spot. But that's the only miracle you're going to see that Muhammad is ever credited with having anything to do with, which is probably not true. Amen. But anyway, this is what they believe. So the Lord told me those gods only exist in the minds of those who believe in them. See, God didn't need Israel to go attack Egypt. He did it. The Lord didn't need for Gideon them to really wipe out the Midianites who came against them and the Canaanites. What did he do? He hurled hailstones from heaven. We just read where we got that saying, "The battle is not yours, it's the Lord," with Jehoshaphat. He was afraid. The Assyrians were coming at him, and they told him, "Don't trust in your God, because I done wiped out all the gods that people trusted in." But he still trusted in God, and God sent one angel, took out 185,000 people, and they went home scared. See, God don't need nobody to fight for him. He'll do it himself. He didn't need nobody to create the heavens and the earth, but every other god claims the heaven and the earth as their creation. And they didn't create it. Like the Lord says about them, they are dumb, idols, and speechless. So you have to make sure that you're hearing from the true and living God before you, like Abraham, get up from among your kindred and acquaintance, since they were all pagans. Since they were all idolaters, since they were all non-believers, that wasn't a good environment for him to be in to meet God. If you want to meet the Lord, put yourself in an environment where the Lord can come and have a talk with you. When Moses was with his uncle, his father-in-law, Jethro, his new wife, whatever her name was, and when he was hanging out with Jethro and all them sisters and, amen, he didn't meet the Lord. It wasn't until he was alone out there on the backside of a mountain with them sheep that the Lord showed up. Sometimes when you want to make sure you're hearing from God, you got to get away from all the voices around you. I was looking at something Pastor Welton Smith, I think his church is called New Life. Amen. Awesome young man. I was looking at him, and he was at some kind of place where you pet animals and things. And he posted that sometimes when you want to hear from God, you need to be in a quiet place. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, beloved, that Abraham had to get away from where he was to become who God was, amen, calling him to be. And you might have to let go of some family members. I mean, you don't have to hate on them or nothing like that, but you might have to stop hanging around them because they ain't trying to follow Jesus. They ain't trying to, like old folks say, go up the King's Highway. They're still looking backwards. They still got the steering wheel in their hand driving backwards, and they want you to get in the car with them and go backwards. They want you to come back from the Christian life God has called you to live rather than go forward into it. Man, why you don't hang out on the corner no more? Because Jesus don't hang out on the corner no more. What? Okay, Jesus is going somewhere else. I'm going over here with Jesus, and you still back there doing what we did. Do you know there are people out on the corner who was out there on the corner with me back in the 70s, and they still alive and on the corner. Haven't progressed at all. That's what happened when you drive backwards. Sooner or later, you either run into something or you get nowhere because you're too busy looking backwards. Jesus said if somebody put their hand to the plow and they're looking backwards, he said they're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Jesus ain't crazy. You don't want nobody trying to go forward backwards. That just don't work. Amen. So Abraham was asked to leave his native country, get away from his relatives and your father's house, and go to a land that I will show you. God didn't even tell him where he was going. Amen. He hadn't told me all about running for Christ, but all he told me about running for Christ in the beginning, like Abraham, he's telling him right now, go to a place I'll show you. So Abraham has to follow these instructions that he's getting from the Lord right now. Now, we all know if you read all the chapters where Abraham is involved, I believe up to chapter 25, okay, he's getting more information. It's sort of like being in the CIA. I was watching a movie one time, excuse me, and every time somebody asked something, they said it's on a need-to-know basis. And I was like, Jesus, what that mean? You don't need to know right now. Amen. So God had Abraham on a need-to-know basis. First steps, right? First, you leave your native country. I mean, listen to what God is asking him to do. It's like when the Lord asked T.D. Jakes, he was up and coming, but he had a church. He had 50 members, and the Lord asked him to leave. He had built it up to 50 members, and he was kind of happy with that. And so the Lord asked him to leave there and go to Dallas. And he like, what? I won't have any members. I just got these. He did the same thing with Joyce Meyer. She had about 25 and had got it up to 60 people coming around her house because the Bible class she was having at work grew too big, so she had to stop and took it to her house. Then it grew too big for her house, and the Lord told her, leave. I want you to go east, north, south, and west. And she said, what? We can't even afford to go east far. She used to have to go and preach prosperity sermons, and she really hated it. Why? Because her and Dave were so broke, they needed the money to get the gas to get back to the crib. Same thing with T.D. Jakes. You know how preachers like to go out and eat after they preach? He was the one who preached, but he needed that money to live, so he didn't run out with the brother preachers and go eat a big meal. He got with Sarah, his wife, Sarita, whatever her name is, he got with his wife, and they went to the crib because they needed that money. So when you look at these people, like Joel Osteen, his father was straight pagan, the one that started the church, straight pagan because the whole family was pagan. But one day somebody showed up and started talking about Jesus. And his father, since he had come from a family where everybody was straight pagan and wasn't nobody going to heaven, his father broke the chain, followed Jesus, and look at Lakewood today. But when we look at these people today, we think it was always like that. We think, well, see, he could say that because he T.D. Jakes, he rich. Or she Joyce Myers, and she rich. If you listen to Joyce Myers talk about all she been through, raped by her own father, and then God, after he grew her up a little bit, had her to take care of her father till he passed. And she did it by faith. Because God asked her to do it. She was as sure as Abraham is here that God asked her to do it. So the first thing Abraham had to do was obey God and get up and leave. Joyce Myers had to obey. T.D. Jakes had to obey. Joel Osteen. Joel, hiding behind the stuff. He loves just filming stuff. I'm in the background. People don't even know I exist. And then the Lord said, I want you to follow your daddy. I want you to be a preacher. You're like, I don't know how to preach. You better go get somebody else. I'll tear this church up. But look at him. He did it. He didn't know what he was doing, and he will tell you that. He didn't know, anything but filming stuff in the background. But look at him. And all he did was follow the Lord's word. The Lord's word. Not his mama, not his daddy, not his brothers or sisters if he got some, but the Lord. Because when you get ready to start walking by faith, when you get ready to start a walk of faith or walk by faith, you're going to have to know this is God. And if you're the kind of Christian that believe the Bible is not the only truth on earth, you're in trouble. Because God won't do anything with you. He that comes to me must believe that I am, and that I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me alone. You can't cheat on God. He ain't like your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, and wife. He 24/7 see where you at. He's called omnipresent, and he's omniscient. If you even thinking about cheating on God, he know it. So God knew when he talked to Abraham that Abraham wanted to know the true and living God. And now he showed up, not in person, but as a voice. He's hearing voices in his head. And he believes this voice that he's hearing in his head. I remember when the Lord called me to preach, and I'm on my way to the corner to sell some dope. And Jesus met me. Because, see, my mother and father had led me to Christ, but I hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. And so I'm pretty much doing everything I used to do, just happy to be saved. But I hadn't told anybody. The only people who knew I gave my life to Christ was my mother and father. And so I was still going to the corner selling dope. Then one day I'm on my way to the corner to sell some dope, and Jesus showed up, just like he did on Paul or Saul. And we had a little talk with Jesus, and he made it all right. I didn't believe him, but I went and did what he told me to do. But all I heard was a voice saying to me, go down there and tell them you're a son of the Most High God. I didn't even know. I'm like, wait a minute, there's two of y'all? And then he told me that I was a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm like, no, I'm not. And then I knew something was different because I could hear him, even though he wasn't there. Well, I'm going down the drag strip in 2002 in my 1970 Cuda. I'm at about 100 miles an hour, and Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. I'm like, what? I was so into what he wanted, I just went up on the next round, red lighted on purpose so I would lose. Why? Because I wanted to hear what Jesus wanted me to do. And that's where Running for Christ came from. I was skipping church drag racing, and at the drag strip, he called me to organize Running for Christ. I fought with him for 6 months. I didn't believe him for 6 months. I kept telling him how unworthy I was, how uneducated I am, and how just straight up stupid I am. I'm like, you, if you're God and you've seen me my whole life, you know how crazy I am. And I told him, ain't nobody around here going to listen to me. They know me. You're wasting your time. But it was one thing he said to me that got me. I had gone behind high school to try to find God because my whole family seemed like they just knew him. He was right there, but I didn't. So I went behind the school before they changed it over to what it is now. Ain't that something? I live right down the street from there. But anyway, I went behind the school, sat down on this bench that was behind the old gym, and I asked the Lord to show me himself in the sky. And nothing. So now jump forward. My father told me God is awesome. He's El Shaddai, God Almighty. Don't worry about nothing or nobody. God got everything under control. But I didn't know God, so I really wasn't believing that. And I went upstairs. I was on my way upstairs to tell him off, because you go upstairs and tell your father off. They ain't like mothers. They can't hear. But mothers would be hollering up the steps, "I heard what you said." Okay, but my father never did that, so I figured he couldn't hear. So I'm going upstairs to get him straight. And my mother meets me in the hallway, and she asks me, "Whose world is this?" And I say, "God's." I just learned that from my father. He said, "This." He said, "Then whose problems are all those you brought up to your father?" I say, "God's." I learned that from my father because he can solve any problem. And then she said, "Who's going to fix all them problems that you brought up to your father?" I say, "God." And then she handed me this book. And she had this look on her face. I'll never forget it. "Go upstairs and read. Don't come back down until you do." The book was entitled "Come to Me." And it was set up to bring somebody to Jesus, and it worked. And now you jump forward on my way to sell some dope. Here Jesus is. I say, "You cannot be the Lord, because if you was, you would know me. And I'm not somebody you can preach." I laugh at preachers. I mock preachers. And I did. I really did. "Don't come by that corner. I'll tear you up." But anyway, he said, "I am the God you looked for behind the school." I guess that's how Abraham felt. He's around all these fake, phony gods. And all of a sudden, the Lord shows up. Amen. And he recognizes his voice is different than the Lord's voice is different from the devil's voice. They didn't even have a full theology. If you read Job, you'll see they didn't even know nothing about no devil. God hadn't released that kind of information during that dispensation. They were in the dispensation of conscience and the dispensation of government. And now they're about to go into the dispensation of promise. Okay, but Abraham don't know nothing about that. But he knows it's the Lord's voice. And how do I know he knew it was the Lord's voice? Just like me, I went to the corner and told him, "Can you imagine this? I'm bringing you some dope. But I ain't coming up there with the dope reaching out for the money. I'm coming up there telling you I am a child of the Most High God and a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Some people quit using dope. They started saying, "If you use that stuff, you're going to turn into him." Amen. I went through a whole lot after that, but amen. That's what Abraham, and God is calling you. And when he calls you to do something, it's probably going to be something you don't want to do, something where you can't say, "Okay, Lord, I know how to do that. I got you. I'm going to do it." No, he'll call you to something that you don't know how to do. That way, you're going to have to trust him. See, Abraham, he had to follow God. He had to follow the Lord. How was he going to get from his country to a country he ain't never been to? God had to tell him, "Okay, now turn right here. Okay, now walk a little left here. Okay, now cut through that pass over there. Now cut over here." Listen to what it says here. God says, "I will make you into a great nation." Abraham like, "Really? I ain't even got no kids." "I will bless you and make you famous." He like, "Please, I'm a pagan out of Ur of the Chaldeans." What? "And you will be a blessing to others." And he's like, "Really? I just met you. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." Do you know that same promise applies to us? God will bless those who bless us, and God will treat those, or he will curse those who treat us with contempt. And that includes your own brothers and sisters in Christ. Because see, Miriam and Aaron, they treated Moses with contempt. God gave Miriam leprosy because she started it. So he'll do it to your own family members. That's why when the Lord comes to me and say, "One of your members are talking about you and you need to pray," I know he's saying that because he know they're lying and he wants to protect me because I ain't there. One time, somebody was trashing Running for Christ Ministries where my wife goes to get her hair done. Now, her hairdresser has since gone to heaven. But it was her brother who was like not a believer in Jesus, but we've been friends forever, okay? He believes in God. He just got a problem with coming to Jesus. So, but anyway, we talk all the time because we're friends. You need some unsaved friends or you ain't never going to lead nobody to Christ. So anyway, they started trashing Running for Christ Ministries, and boy, he called me and told me what they were saying, and Lord have mercy, he went all the way unsaved off on them, talking about Running for Christ Ministries, the only church around here trying to help people. They give away clothes to people. They give away turkey dinners to people. They trying, what y'all doing? What y'all doing? What y'all doing? And he was, ooh, God, but he used a whole lot of cuss words because, amen, like I say, but he defended Running for Christ, and he don't even believe in Jesus. Amen. People who, that's why I tell folks all the time, do not get yourself in trouble with Jesus talking about me. I'm not worth it. I'm worth everything to Jesus. He died for me. But it ain't, I'm not worth you getting God cursing you and holding you in contempt, treating you like Miriam and Aaron because they trashing Moses about something they couldn't even be anyway. God told them, look, if it was another prophet in Israel, I would know it. So y'all ain't. Don't get mad at your pastor because he the pastor or she the pastor. God made them the pastor for his own reason, his own purpose. And when you start messing with that, you're messing with him. But people don't get that. They think they're dealing with a human being. So God said, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'm going to curse those who are going to curse you. And guess what? In the end, all the families on earth are going to be blessed through you. How many families on earth have been blessed through you? Amen. God made you a blessing to be a blessing. So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed. Oh, he did what God said. Now, here's the problem. Lot went with him. That's a kindred, and that's an acquaintance. And that's a relative, his nephew. His daddy died, so Abraham kind of became his daddy. So Lot went with him. Didn't say Lot had faith. Didn't say he was following the word of the Lord. He was following his uncle. And that later on is going to become a problem. Abraham was 75 years old when God called him. So if you old and you thank God through calling, oh, you better keep your ears open. Like Marvin Sapp say, listen, God trying to tell you something. Amen. As I come to a close, amen, you read this when you get a chance. Read about Abraham's whole life if you want to see how faith works. He didn't do anything that God didn't tell him to do. And when he did stuff that God didn't tell him to do, God protected him anyway. He suffered. He had some anxiety. He had some fear when his wife got taken twice. But, amen, doing things God didn't tell him to do. And he suffered. But the Lord brought him out in the end. Why? Because God said, you're going to be a blessing to all the families on earth. Through this man, because he got up and decided to leave his native country, his relatives, and his father's family, and go where God was showing him, guess what? We got Jesus. We got Jesus. I'm going to close with this. Okay, Crystal, get ready, because I'm closing with this. This is my real close, Crystal. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Like TDJ say, get ready. I want you to, amen. I'm going over to Genesis chapter 22. And I'm going to read this and be through. Because Abraham's faith is about to be tested. God has given him this son. He's 100 years old. His wife is 90. He's had his son, Isaac. Isaac's now a teenager. And the Lord comes to Abraham. And the Bible says sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, he knew it was God's voice because he used to hearing it. And yes, he replied, here I am. So he knew it was God talking to him. God told him to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and sacrifice him on the mountain that I'll show you. So he didn't even know what mountain he was going to. Just take your son, Isaac, and go, and I'll tell you which mountain. And when they saw the mountain far off, they went on, told the people who was with them, his servants, y'all stay here. I and the lad, me and my son, we're going to go over here and worship, and me and my son coming back to you. Now that's faith. See, Abraham remembered God told him that the whole earth was going to be blessed through him. So Isaac can't die up here. I don't know what God going to do, but I'm trusting him. Watch this. When they arrived at the place where God had told them to go, I'm at verse 9, when they in verse chapter 22, verse 9. I want you to see what happens when you do what God tells you to do and how blessed everybody around you can be. He says, when they arrived at the place where God told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord, you all know who that is, God the Son, the second person of the Godhead, okay, in the Old Testament. We call him Jesus. But in the Old Testament, he wasn't born yet and given a name. So here he's a theophany, a visible manifestation of God the Son, the second person of the Godhead. Jesus shows up. At that moment, Jesus showed up and called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. He got a new name now because he's the father of many nations. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Listen to this. Don't lay hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your own son, your only son. How many people withholding their kids from God because they won't even take them to church, won't take them to Sunday school, they don't attend no Bible classes? But that's you withholding your children from God. If you are unwilling them to teach them about him, to make sure that they have a Christian education and a good secular education, hey, man, you're keeping them from God. You, parent, you're doing it. Because God expects you to have a home Bible class with them. God expects you to have them in Bible class. God expects you to have them in church school. But you're withholding them. For what? The devil? Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham named that place Yahweh. Yahweh Yireh. We say Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. But he'd have never saw that provision if he didn't raise up the knife to slay his son. The ram probably would have got out of the thicket and ran off somewhere. But because he did what God said, amen. Abraham named that place Yahweh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Amen. Now watch this. This is where it gets good. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham again from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you've obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name, because there's nobody more powerful than God, I will certainly bless you and will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and like the sand on the sea. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. And through your descendants, all of the nations will be blessed, all because you obeyed me. Amen. When you hear the word of the Lord, and you know it's the word of the Lord, you are to move out from your position and follow it, because none of us have lived this Christian life before we became Christians. Amen. Okay, Crystal, it's all yours.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
amen.
Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for this faith that you have given us, and we thank you, Father, that you made it easy for us to know it's your word, so we can know that we're doing what you told us to do. And we thank you that you gave us these 66 books. We thank you, Jesus, when you prayed over there in John chapter 17, you said, Father, I'm not just praying for these right here under my voice, under the sound of my voice, but for all those who are going to believe on me according to their word. We are those people, Jesus, that have believed on you according to their word. Reward our faith, Jesus, and fix our foolishness. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now.
Amen. All right, tag, I'm in. Amen. Well, Lord have mercy, so much was said today. But the one thing that jumped out at me is that we have been blessed, and we have a responsibility to be a blessing to others. This Christian life is not just about us. Like Pastor said, if you don't have any unsaved friends, who are you going to save?
You know what I'm saying? So we all like to stick to what we know and what we're used to, but we have to be, you know, willing to go outside of our comfort zone in order to spread the word of God. So it was so much said in this sermon, and Pastor was revving up right at the end. So we're going to let Pastor, you know, come back after I do the announcements for a few little closing words. But happy Saturday. Good morning to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners, old and new, who tuned in this morning to our Sunday morning worship service. Pastor, I'm not sure if you can mute your microphone. But we always want to say thank you to the pastor of the hour. Now, mind you, Pastor said the other day it was going to be a special guest pastor, and he told us that he was going to tell us on Saturday. I'm like, special guest? I'm trying to go through in my mind. I said, it's probably Pastor O, but no, I don't know, but it's so special that it was Pastor O. He ain't preached on Saturday in a really, really, really long time, so it was really great to hear a Saturday word from him. Way more toned down than what we get on Sunday. Praise God. But we got an awesome word today. We were blessed by the word. We're thankful to Pastor O for bringing us that word today. And we know that he is so full of words, and he is always ready to bring a word anytime. So we pray that those who were listening were blessed in some way by what you heard today, whether it was the scripture and prayer at the beginning of the service, whether it was the music, whether it was the commentary in between songs. You know, those are encouraging words and things like that that we can hold on to. You know, faith builders, and the songs make us feel some kind of way, and it just really, you know, just validates the fact that God is so good. And so we know that you had to be blessed by something that you heard today, and so we thank God for it. Amen. Running for Christ Ministries is located at 27085 West Otter Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Again, as two y'all don't know, need to know this address, 27085 West Otter Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Just a couple reminders that our Bible reading class is held here on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is teaching Ezra chapters 7 through 10. The questions have been emailed, and they are online for you to access. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Bible classes, and you will find them there. Also, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., we know that Reverend Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio teaching in his series, Training Day. So set yourself a reminder each week to tune in every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Amen? Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, the time has come, and we are excited. Now, why, you ask? Duh, because tomorrow is Sunday. Tomorrow is August the 1st, and we will be back in the church building for our Sunday morning worship service that begins at 10 a.m. We have not been in the building since, I think, March the 20th of 2020. Amen. So we will officially be back in the church building tomorrow, August 1st, for our Sunday service. So now, Sunday service in person will begin at 10 a.m. So make sure you're paying attention to the time. Like Pastor said the other day, if you get there at 8:30 like we used to have to, you're going to be there way too early. Service begins at 10 a.m. And then the most important thing is that we are asking that everyone who attends to please wear a mask. Vaccinated or unvaccinated, the requirement is a mask. If you don't have one, we will provide one for you so that everybody can remain safe during the service, especially with the Delta variant and, you know, COVID still doing its thing. So we have a lot of seniors in our congregation that we must consider along with smaller children. So we appreciate your cooperation during these still trying times of the pandemic. But we are so thankful to God for allowing us to return in person to be able to see one another and lay eyes on one another. We were doing our Zooms and everything, but it's just something about when you come together with people of God, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you're able to lay your eyes on one another, it really matters. So tomorrow, again, we will be having our Sunday service in person in the building at 27085 West Otter Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Sunday service begins at 10 a.m., and please wear a mask. Amen? Amen. So excited. Also, the fourth Wednesday of every month until the month of November, from 10 a.m. for setup to 1:30 in the afternoon, First for Living Ministries, Minister Shelley, Pastor O,
as well as anyone else who wants to join in, is out in front of Run for Christ Ministries, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, as well as giving out Bibles and lunches. There's a bus stop in front of the actual church building. So if you're able to make it out on the fourth Wednesday of the month of August, please do so, as all are welcome in here. Amen. Also, every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with her own show entitled Back to the Family, which we know discusses the deteriorating condition of the family today and explores biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for family in the beginning. And so you can find her call-in number on our church website, which is, of course, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources. It's not the number that you would use to call on Saturday and Sunday or for any Bible classes during the week. It is a separate number, so please make sure you go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources, and the link and Kat's phone number is there listed for you. Set yourself a reminder, 4 p.m. on Sunday, back to the family. Amen? Amen. All right, y'all. So we've kind of had a little break on Mondays for classes. So then we moved our Bible class to our Bible reading class to Wednesday, but we got a new class announcement. So we knew a couple months ago that we were going to be coming back on Monday nights for a class. And so here it is. Y'all ready? The new class is entitled Get a Grip. Get a Grip. Mental health and Christianity, keeping it together when things go wrong. So have you ever felt like you were losing your mind? Such thoughts are natural given the temptations we face, especially during times of loss. But God has equipped you with supernatural weapons to battle for your grip on sanity. So join us on Mondays here on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. starting on September 13th, all right? So set yourself a reminder, September 13th, as we will be here on Blog Talk Radio as we delve into what the Bible tells us about mental health. Each week, a new topic on the crises people encounter, such as illness, death of a loved one, or betrayal, will be introduced. Deaconess Dr. June Rogers is your teacher, and she will guide you through how people in the Bible and those living through our times have faced mental challenges. More importantly, you will come to understand how to prevail in these spiritual battles. So let's study together in this interactive course that shows you how to get a grip. Amen. Remember God's promises according to Isaiah 26, verse 3, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, that minds and hearts focusing on and trusting in the Lord can and will enjoy perfect peace. So again, set yourself a reminder right now to join us on Monday, September 13th at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio so we can all learn how to get a grip. Amen? Amen. A reminder that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio, recorded, archived, and free, just go to rfcm.org. Under the Blog Talk Radio tab, 24/7, 365, classes and services are there available to be downloaded and shared. Amen. If you would like to bless us with a free will love offering here at Run for Christ Ministries, or if you're a member, you want to pay tithes or give any additional offerings towards any of our outreach ministries that we support, rfcm.org is the place to go. You'll find the information there. Also, if you would like to give a love offering for Pastor O, our very, very special guest preacher today, who brought us the awesome word this morning, please go to Pastor's personal website, pastorgmo.com. That's pastorgodsmyowner.com, to give you a love offering to Pastor O. Amen. Amen. So why do we pray? We got a couple reasons why. One, God wants to connect with us personally. He wants relationship and not religion. Two, prayer invites God into our circumstances. God's not unaware of what goes on with us, and he is all-knowing, and nothing catches him by surprise. But God is a gentleman, and we know that he wants to be invited into our lives, as he will not force himself in. He'll stand at the door and knock, and he'll wait for you to open it. Number three, prayer is a dialogue and not a monologue. It's not a one-way conversation. Number four, God wants your heart, so when you speak, speak from your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks good things and bad things. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The Lord wants to hear the good the bad and the ugly of our lives. So give him your heart. He can handle it. You can never be too far from the forgiveness, grace, and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen. And number five, lastly, we pray to exercise our spiritual authority. God will not do for us what he's already given us the authority to do for ourselves. But we all have the authority, if you're in Jesus Christ, we have authority over the enemy. So when the enemy starts attacking you, fight him back through the power and authority given to us through the power of prayer. This is spiritual warfare, and the weapons that we use to fight the enemy are not physical. We use the word of God to fight off Satan. That's only the word of God. That's the only thing that he responds to. Not us, like you said, going to church. And he don't mind you doing any of that. It's when you try to use your authority over him is when he has a problem with it. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so we know prayer, again, is our weapon against the attack of the enemy. And we have been given authority by the Most High God to pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's the power in that name that will get you your victory. Amen. So why do we pray? Because we've been given the power and authority to do so, and because it's essential to being victorious in every of our lives. Amen. Amen. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, to pray like this: say, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And so we know that we have to seek the Lord first in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. So it's our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And when you pray first, over time, you will find yourself praying continually. And so we ask your prayers for those who are sick, shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated, those who receive bad health reports, layoff notices from their jobs, bad news from friends and loved ones. Also pray for one another personally, of course, yourself, our children, our nation, the world, our leaders, those who are missing and exploited, those who are being trafficked and abused, and, of course, continue to pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. Amen. Special prayers go out to all of our mothers that Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Please keep Pastor John Mack in your prayers. Tyrone Hamilton, also Mother Cheryl, she get extra prayers because she's attached to Tyrone. That's his beautiful wife. Make sure we keep them lifted up. Kids getting ready to go back to school. Some kids are already on their way, depending on where you live, you know, in this country, in this world. Keep the teachers in prayer, the parents in prayer. You know, we still have the controversy of wear a mask, not wear a mask. Should I? Should not? Can we? Can't we? Too much. You know, just keep that lifted up in prayer because the Lord knows best. We still have to keep our younger babies in prayer, too, you know, those preschool, kindergarten, first, second, you know, the elementary kids, because they're not able to get vaccinated right now, but they still need to be able to attend school. Amen. So let's keep them lifted up in prayer. As a bereavement announcement, we ask for your prayers for Deaconess Kathy Clyburn and the loss of her adopted son, Bobby Poole. Please pray for her and the family during this difficult time, and I'm pretty sure more information will be forthcoming about that. But right now, just focus on praying for her and her family. Amen. We must pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, those who the devil has convinced that God is not who he is. Now, we already know that Satan knows who the Lord is. He knows him personally. So don't let Satan trick you out of your relationship with the Lord. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, your household today, Judea, your community today, Samaria, outside of your community and outside of your comfort zone, to people in places where you wouldn't normally go to today, and to the ends of the earth. And that's people in places you're like, nah, not today. They need the word of God too. So yes, today is the day. And so it's our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Matthew chapter 25 verse 41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels and not people. But we know that unfortunately some people will end up there, you know, in eternal torment. So this life is short. We already know God is not bound by time, but we are. Psalm chapter 90 verse 12 says, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So don't stand in line and force your way into a place that was not created for you. John 14 verse 3 says, I, and that I is Jesus, am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. Amen. Most definitely something to look forward to. Psalm chapter 34 verse 18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew chapter 5 verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans chapter 12 verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 13, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Revelation 21 verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, that he is Jesus. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All these things are gone away forever. When you're sad, heartbroken over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even just grieving over the loss and sin that we see, hear, and read about all over the world on a daily basis, use the word of God to encourage you and give you strength. It's only his word that can do that. Amen. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and in your prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. So Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, you the light of the world, you and you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings are not always in the form of money or material things. We know that a kind word goes a long way. The gift of love is free. And a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. So take time to be some sunshine to somebody today, because Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen. So happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners who are celebrating their birthday on the last day of the month, the last Saturday, July 31st. And we say happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all over the world who celebrated this month. You already know how we do for our Running for Christ Ministry members who celebrated this month: Sarah, Hunter, Malachi, me, Logan, Deandra, Isaiah, Avetrius, Ryan, Nicole, Lisa, and little Leon Payne. We know y'all turned up this whole entire month. Happy, happy birthday to you. Amen. So last but not least is your devotional for today: The Authority of Christ Over Satan. And this is by Dr. Tony Evans. This one was chosen to give you a reminder that you fight from a place of victory and not for victory. Amen. So the Bible says that God tempts no man to sin. That's James chapter 1, verse 13. Whenever you sin, don't blame God. God never tempts us, but he does test us. So do you understand the difference? Testing is designed to validate your victory in Christ. Temptation is Satan's attempts to defeat you spiritually. Ironically, the test and the temptation can be the same event. God can use something, a circumstance, a situation, a problem that is a test. Yet, Satan is using it as a temptation. Your response can be a testimony to God's power, so Satan works to discredit your testimony in an effort to dishonor God. Our Heavenly Father wants to know whether your amen on Sunday works on Monday, and Satan wants you to leave the sermon at the church. Remember, Satan, let me say that again, Christ has all authority over Satan, so you can win every time. We are victorious. Never forget that. Amen. Amen. Those are your announcements.
Amen. Thank you, Crystal. I appreciate you.
You're
so
welcome.
Much. I was just ready. I was going to hit the ground. But
I
anyway,
see. I know. I caught you.
You
Amen.
You came through. I appreciate that. I know how John Mack felt last week. Amen. You know, we must be crazy. We in the same family. He kept on preaching, though. He couldn't hardly breathe, but he had got that word out, too.
Got it out.
Amen.
Yes.
Talking, I'm still I'm still with the influence. What kind of influence are you? I'm still rolling with that. Amen. And then,
that was an awesome word.
Amen. I think he the reason I had to be a good influence this morning.
Amen.
But anyway, I ain't
that's right. No, no,
thank
not
you,
today,
Crystal.
Not today. You're welcome.
Oh, Jesus. Amen. The Lord is good, y'all. He is very, very good. You have no idea how I feel right now, but I always love, you know, you hear me talk about Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail when they was tore up, beat up, trashed out, and left for dead in a dungeon. And they sang praises to God at midnight. And you know, I always said, Jesus, they were human just like me. How did they get that kind of faith? And, you know, so you just have to do it. You just have, you can be afraid. You can be sick. You can be hurting. You can be in pain. You can barely breathe like Pastor Mac. John Mack last week, but you still get it done. Your faith stays through the roof, and he's dealing with so many challenges. I felt like I just got to preach. But it was a funny way how this thing happened. But, amen, pray for Jonathan and pray for Janine. They're both out of town, and I didn't want to drop this on nobody at the last second because I hate when that happens to me. I always do it, but I just hate when it happens. I seem to find out things at the last second. But anyway, it was the Lord's doing, and the Lord did it. And I cannot thank him enough for his faithfulness and for his power, overpowering my no power. I cannot thank him enough for that. So let's say a quick prayer, and then we're going to get out of here. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, and all power, both now and forever. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. We pray we see you on tomorrow at 10 a.m. My sermon title for tomorrow is going to be, what is it going to be, Jesus? Glad to be in the service. I keep forgetting my own service. Amen. Praise God.
Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today.
I ain't gonna let no cloud get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today.
Ooh. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away.
I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be
I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today, today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your road. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's a day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my. I got the joy, joy down.